Carrie Cox here to tell us about the Outreach Funnel.
All right, you might have to chase me because I move around a lot and I'm not going to have a PowerPoint. So if you want to get rid of that, you can too. That's great. I wanted to talk to you guys for a minute about my grandfather. My grandfather is a man who is, move that down. Is that too loud? I'm hurting you guys. I get really excited.
Just a little.
See where I get the loud mouth? Leave it there? All right. All right. Anyhow, my grandfather is one of my favorite people to be around. He's a Kentucky boy, real slow speaking, a lot of fun. He's a fisherman, and at that, he's a really good fisherman. And we've went fishing several times, and I watch my grandpa, and I think it's pretty cool because he'll throw the lure out there, and he pulls it in, and every time there's a fish on it, or so it seems to me. And of course, this is a fish story, but he throws it out, and he brings in fish, and I've been amazed at that. And I've watched him pull two fish on one hook before, which was amazing. I couldn't believe it, and I thought that was really cool. And I you know, growing up, I thought, man, there's nobody who's ever caught as many fish as my grandpa. And I think I probably carried that thought on until I saw a show on TV called The World's Most Deadly Professions. Has anybody seen that show? These guys are maniacs, especially the guys who go out deep sea fishing with the nets. And if you guys know who I'm talking about, these guys are insane. And I watch these guys fishing, and they throw out these huge nets, and we saw one guy get drug off into freezing cold water and almost die. It was crazy, but they pull in these nets. And I looked at these nets coming in full of fish, and I was like, man, my grandpa ain't nothing. I've been fooled for years. And they're bringing in thousands and thousands of fish, and I'm like, holy cow, look how many fish. And of course, you know, as they're pulling the nets up, you see the fish start slipping through the cracks and some getting out and things like that. But I looked at that, and I was like, man, look how many fish are in that net. And I started thinking about campus ministry when they started talking about drawing a crowd. And I think for too long, our church and our campus ministries have been campus ministries that go out. And what we've been doing, our approach that we've taken in a lot of ways, is we go out with a cane pole and a string and expect to pull in a load of fish on that pole. And Jesus told us that we need to use nets. Because the people that we need to draw in crowds of people, because you are going to lose those people. And don't get me wrong, this analogy only goes so far. I think there are some fish you're only going to catch with special bait, all right? But I think that as a campus ministries, we're going to have to learn that we are going to have to draw a crowd in order to reach people effectively. And for too long, you know, what's happened is in churches and in campus ministries, the campus minister or just the preacher, they'll sit down and they study with every single person who comes in the door one-on-one. There's no crowd coming in, and it hasn't worked. And so what we have got to do is we've got to learn that we have to draw a crowd. And I think that when you start looking at the Bible and you start looking at the New Testament and you start looking at Jesus' ministry, you find out really quickly that Jesus was an artist when it came to drawing a crowd. He was constantly drawing crowds, and what he did was he used these huge crowds that he had, and he would funnel people down from the top in these huge groups. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is how we can do that, how we can be a group of people who draw huge crowds of people, because the more people that you have coming to your events and things, that's the more people you have access to. And of course, you're going to lose some of those people along the way. And I think God designed it that way, but it allows you the opportunity to meet and to run into so many more people that you'll have an opportunity to reach. And when you, like I said, when you look at Jesus' ministry, it's something really clear that he did quite a bit. Across Between is our campus ministry name. We have guys meetings during the morning, and something I've really been stressing to my guys recently is our plan of the funnel and how we want to use a funnel to make our campus ministry grow. And what I've explained to them is what I want to explain to you today, and also explain maybe how Jesus did and how we can do it, is that at Across Between, what we start out with is we start out with big events. We want to draw in the biggest crowd that we can at these events. And we try to do these events once a month, and sometimes my lack of discipline doesn't allow us to do that. But we want to do these huge events to where it gets our name out on campus and people see our campus ministry as a draw. And I've stole a lot of ideas from different campus ministries to do that and things. I'm a big thief. You'll find that out, because if you put on an event and it works, I'll put it on next year. But we, for instance, one of our big events that we do is we do a root beer kegger and mud wrestling. And you think, yeah, man, a root beer kegger, yeah, you know, that's been done and things like that. We are a little crazy when it comes to our root beer kegger. We dig out 20 by 20 pits of mud, and we tell the people, and we advertise all over campus. One year we handed out 14,000 invitations for the root beer kegger. And we worked and worked and worked for the first 2 weeks of school because we wanted to draw a crowd and let people know, man, being a Christian is not synonymous with being boring. And we want them to know that we have a lot of fun. And so we went out and what we did was we drew a crowd. And we started an annual root beer kegger. The first year, there was 150 guests outside of our campus ministry that showed up. And and none of those people were church people. I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, if it goes this way every year, I'm going to be so happy. The next year, 300 people show up. The year before I left Greater Alton, 586 people showed up. And the awesome thing about this is that it's 20 miles off campus where we have it. So we had 580-some people drive 20 miles to come to the root beer kegger. And I thought, man, we're going to move over to the St. Louis area, and we're going to try the root beer kegger again, and it may not work as well. Our first year over at the new church, our root beer kegger, we had over 400 people at the root beer kegger. And we put on all kinds of events like that, events like dynamite nights. We did a Napoleon Dynamite party, and we had a dynamite dance-off, and everybody danced off, and we had dang quesadillas, and we had all kinds of things. Anything to draw a crowd that we can think of, we're going to do it. We have 80 skate nights, you know, and anything we can think of to draw a crowd. And then what we try to do is we try to funnel those people down like Jesus did. If you look at Jesus' ministry, he'd take them from the crowd, from these big crowds, and then he would narrow it down to a smaller crowd. And you see the smaller crowd that follows Jesus around. And then he narrows it down to his apostles, and then he narrows it down to three of those, and then he has one, and he depends on these people, and there's this funnel that you constantly see in Jesus's ministry, and then he tells those people to go do the same thing, and they go and they draw crowds, and then they bring people down through this funnel. And I looked at our ministry, I'm like, man, we can do that. We'll have these big events, and then we'll move people from these big events to what we call cross chats. And cross chats are just laid back discussions about the Bible. It's supposed to be a fairly small group, but by the end of the semester, we've been having 40 some people crammed in my living room. And it's crazy, and so we've had to break it into two. But we want to keep people funneling down, and then we move them from there, from our cross chat to things like church, and then a small group, then a one-on-one Bible study, and then we move them into. Then we want to bring them back up so they learn to do the same thing, and we funnel people down through these events. And as I looked at Jesus' ministry, I saw it constantly happening. And I don't really see us practicing that. And I think that it's something that if it's a pattern that we see in the New Testament that worked, if it's a pattern we saw in Jesus' ministry and in his life, then it's something we should try to apply to what we're trying to do today. Because those things still work. The first century, the God of the first century is still the same God I serve today, same God you serve today. And the things that he tells us will work. So the question is, well, how do I do that? How do I draw a crowd then? How can I get a group of people to be excited about what our campus ministry is trying to do? How can I pull them in? How can I excite them? Well, look at Jesus' ministry at what he did. And I used an acronym of funnel here if you want to take notes. I didn't make a PowerPoint. I'm sorry. But I didn't. TC, can you get me some water? How do I develop a crowd and begin the funnel principle? First of all, you do what Jesus did. You find people. And you do that with purpose. You go out to find people. And Jesus, whenever you look at his ministry, in Matthew 4, 23 through 25, the Bible says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. You go on, you look at Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Go into all the world. You see, a lot of times the problem, I think, with our campus ministries and our churches is we're not going and finding the people. We're not being a sent people like God designed us to be. What we want to do is we want to sit where it's comfortable for us to sit, and we think that people should come to us. You know, if you drive by, think of how many times you've drove by a church here in Searcy or wherever you're from, and as you drive by the sign, how many of you guys have seen something similar to a sign that says something like this? Come grow with us. Have you guys ever seen that? Or come check out what's going on here. And time after time after time, I drive by these church buildings and you look at their sign and it's all stuff saying, hey, come check out what we have going on here. But we've been bunkered down in our church buildings and our campus ministries and our campus houses for so long that we're not going out and finding the people. We're not getting out amongst the crowd of people. You're never going to draw a crowd if we're hiding from the world. And constantly, God, if you look at the Bible and if you look at Jesus' ministry, he says, go out. He says, I'm sending you. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And he wants us to know that if you want to draw a crowd, then you're going to have to take it upon yourself to get out there and build a crowd and find people. And Jesus starts his ministry, and he starts walking around, and he starts talking to people and building relationships with people. And he says, hey, I'm... And they start following him, and people start checking out, man, what's going on with this guy? And we need to be the kind of campus ministries that go onto our campuses and realize, if there's going to be a crowd that's going to gather, I'm going to have to gather it, because they're not going to flock to me because our church is so great. They're not going to flock to me because I have a student center on campus. I wish we did. We don't. And it would be a great... Those are great tools to have, but people aren't going to come to you just for those reasons. And as a campus minister, you've got to realize it is your responsibility, first of all, to draw a crowd and to excite the people around you to draw a crowd. And you've got to go out into all the world, because the come grow with us approach hasn't worked. We found that out. Churches and campus ministries all over the nation are dying and are stagnant because we've had a come grow with us mentality rather than let's get out and do what we were told to do and reach the lost and find people. We're so lucky on the college campus. I mean, we don't have to go very far to find a crowd. You walk out of the dorm room, you walk onto campus, and you're surrounded by thousands of people. It isn't that hard to find people. But looking at campus ministers, you would think it was a very difficult thing to find a crowd. But it's really not. So the first thing you have to be willing to do is you have to be willing to find people. You have to be willing to go out and look for them. The second thing you have to be able to do is you have to be able to understand people. You have to be able to understand the people who you're working with. And college students sometimes can be, you know, men always say that they'll never figure women out. Sometimes college students are the same way. They seem like they're extremely hard to figure out how to reach them, what they like, and the things that are going on in their lives. But Jesus did an awesome job of setting a great example for us on understanding people. When you look at Jesus' life, you look at the people he was around, the places that he went, you find out really quickly that he understood people. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible's talking about Jesus as, we now have a high priest who can what? Sympathize with our weakness. And what that means is he has a loving understanding for what's going on in our lives. He cares for what's going on. He came here so that he could understand us. He came here so that we could understand him. And he came amongst a bunch of dirty people who were sinful and were a lot different than what he was, because he realized it's my responsibility to understand these people. And you start looking into his ministry more closely, and you start realizing exactly how much he did understand people. If you look in, I'm getting my notes all jumbled. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 13. He's telling a bunch of stories and parables. And you know, in the church we're like, yeah, parables are a great thing. But his apostles didn't really understand why he was teaching parables. And they come up to him and they say, Jesus' disciples came to him and asked, why do you use nothing but stories when you speak to these people? You know, they're looking at him, they're like, I don't get it. Why are you using these stories? You know why he was using stories? Because the people didn't understand him, but he understood them. He understood what they needed, and he understood what they could fathom and what they could understand, what they could grasp. So he got down on their level, and he drew a crowd, because those people, for once, were hearing something rather than the Pharisees who were spouting about a bunch of junk that they didn't understand about religion. And we call it now, you know, we joke around and say we have Christianese speaking people. They speak Christianese and nobody understands. A lot of our churches and our campus ministries speak Christianese and the people around them don't have a clue, because we don't understand those people. So we speak in a language that they don't understand either, and we don't reach them because of that. But here's the apostles like, why are you speaking in stories? And Jesus says, I use stories when I speak to them, because when they look, they cannot see, and when they listen, they cannot hear or understand. So what he did was, is he broke it down into simple terms. He understood the kind of life they lived. He would tell them stories about farming because they were farmers. He would tell them stories about fishing because they were fishermen. He understood the people that he was trying to reach. And a lot of times we come in and we start campus ministries, and we have these campus ministries with real odd names, and people are like, and we expect people to be drawn to our campus ministries, and we look at it and they're like, what does that name have to do with? I don't understand that. And they ignore what we're having to say because they don't understand us, because we're not understanding them. And Jesus, you look at the places he went, it's obvious he understood the people. He went to parties. He went to the slums. And he knew what those people needed, and he knew what they wanted, and he understood how they felt, and he understood how he could reach them effectively. And on our college campuses, I don't think we really understand what's going on with the students around us. A lot of times we miss the students we could be reaching because we don't understand what's going on in their lives. I jotted down some questions that I thought would be good questions to ask yourself. And when you first hear these, you may be thinking, no, I don't do those things, and there's a reason I don't. But just ask yourself these questions. When was the last time you sat down and watched an hour of MTV? When was this last time you sat down and turned on the TV and watched MTV for an hour? Because you know what? That's what you're looking at your college students when you watch MTV. When you turn it on and they're having their spring break week. Yeah, you may see some things on there that may offend you, but you're going to get a real quick and a real good idea of what those college students' lives are like, and you're going to come to understand them a lot quicker if you understand what's going on. And we're so out of touch with what's going on because we've hid ourselves so long that we're afraid that we're going to be infiltrated. We forget that we were supposed to be sent out. And we're too busy defending when we need to be on the offensive. And we need to get out there and understand those people. What was the last movie you went to see that you think a college student would enjoy? When was the last time you read an Entertainment Weekly? When was the last time that you went and just sat in a cafeteria and really listened to the conversations that go on at the tables around you? You will be so surprised at the things that you hear. But you'll learn so much. And part of the reason that Jesus was able to gather such a crowd is that he understood those people. And he spoke in terms that they could understand. And he knew what mattered to them. So when he said things to them, they were like, man, this guy, he has something that I want. He has something that I need. You see, we're going to have to understand people. You know, today, we think that the college students, a lot of times, we think that they really care what our church teaches. And I think it's important what our church teaches, okay? I don't think we should throw doctrine out the window. But college students could care less if you have a big C or a little C on your sign or if it ends above Christ. All right? They don't care about any of that stuff. They don't care. All they know is that they want someone to understand them. They want someone to love them. They want someone to meet their needs. They don't care what's on your sign. They want you to understand them. And once you start understanding them, that's when you'll reach them. Not because you have the right set of doctrine, not because you have the right sign on your building, but because you understand how to reach them, because you're getting involved in their lives and you're finding out ways to understand those students better. You see, Jesus took it as his responsibility to go out and find people. He took it and he knew that he had to understand the people. And the next thing is that he noticed the needs. He noticed and met the needs of people. When you start listening to college students and you understand what's going on in their lives, you're going to quickly find they have some massive needs. They have huge needs. You listen to their conversations about their families, and they're real honest about their families, even just sitting around talking. You listen to the conversations about, you know, their finances. You find out what their needs are really quickly. Mark 6:34 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. John 6:5, when Jesus saw the large crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, where will we get enough food to feed all of these people? And he's looking around, and what Jesus is doing is he's seeing the needs of the people who are in this crowd around him. And if you look at that first passage that we read, when he saw those needs and he started healing those people and started meeting those needs, a bigger crowd came. If you want to draw a crowd, you've got to learn to notice and meet the needs of the college students around you. College students need a family. The body of Christ is a family. That's what we are. One of the things that we found at the Crossings is that, man, we started an adopt-a-student ministry. And I know that's nothing new, but college students, they need a family. You listen to what their families are like. They're longing for a good dad. They're longing for someone who will be a good mother in their life. They need those things. They need someone to love them. They need someone to take care of them because they've never had that before. But so many times we look right past the need. We don't see the needs that they have. We don't take the time to understand those needs and to make sure that we're meeting those needs. They're hungry. College students, food will draw college students. They are always hungry. That is a need that college students have. And you can draw a large crowd by sticking a couple loaves and fishes out in front of college students. They will come and they will eat a lot. But they have a lot of needs that if you will take the time to sit down and understand them, you'll start seeing the needs a lot more clearly, and you'll start realizing, okay, what can I do to meet the needs of these people? What can I do to show them that I really care about them? And it will draw them into you. I think a lot of times what's happened in campus ministries and in churches is that we've become a group of people, rather than meeting the needs of the lost, we have become more accustomed to meeting the wants of the body, of the members of the church. Not the needs of the body, the wants of the body, and the preferences of everybody in the body. And yeah, we worry sometimes. We don't meet the needs of some of the college students because we're afraid that we're going to offend some of the people in the body because they want something different. You see, we got to become a group of people who realize that we've got to understand the college students, but we have to meet their needs and see the things that they really long for in their lives. Not only do we need to notice and meet their needs, but we need to nurse their wounds. We need to nurse their wounds. I've been amazed on the college campus how many people we have run into, how many girls we have run into who have been sexually abused. It's an alarming number. And how many guys we have run into who have been abused. And you see these hurts, and you see the way that their family lives have damaged them. And you see the things that go on inside of them, and you long for something so much better for them. And you look at their relationships, and all the relationships that are involved in, they're damaged, and they can't carry on relationships with people because they have hurts in their lives. And it's not always sexual abuse, but you see all kinds of hurts that go on. You see how they've been let down by their parents, how they've been let down by their friends. You find out, you talk to girls who have been on campus who have been raped. You talk to girls. You start hearing all these hurts that these people have on the campus. And what the awesome thing about Jesus and the thing that he understood was, man, if I can heal the wounds of these people, it's not only going to help that person, but it draws a bigger crowd. You notice I'm sorry, I dropped my paper. In Matthew 4:23, it says that Jesus went through Galilee. And then you go to verse 24, and it says that news spread about him everywhere because he was healing people. But then you look, and now he's not only drawing a crowd from Galilee. After he starts healing the wounds of these people, it says that large crowds start falling from Galilee, from the Decapolis, which is a huge area, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan. You see, Jesus started seeing the needs, and he started seeing the hurts, and he started healing the wounds of the people who were in his crowd, and a bigger crowd came to him. And he looked around and he said, man, this is incredible. And people would just keep coming, and they would keep coming, and they would keep coming. And our campus ministries can be campus ministries that have a huge impact on our campus. We can draw huge crowds and change a lot of lives when we start realizing that there are hurts that people have out there. They don't want to come sit their rump in a pew. They want to come and they want to be helped. They want to be helped. And you know, we look at it and we're like, well, they only want to come and get something from God. It's all about them. Well, what do you think these people who were following Jesus around were wanting? They weren't coming to him for the things that they could give him. They were coming for a free meal, and they were coming because they had diseases and hurts that they wanted to be dealt with. And these huge crowds, Jesus would heal them, and they would dwindle down. But some of those people who were healed and whose needs were met stuck around. And then their motive changed. See, we're so worried about what people's beginning motives are. I've seen people come to our campus ministry for all different kinds of motives. I've seen them come because they just are so lonely that they need friends. Well, they should be coming because Jesus loves them. Well, yeah, they should, but that's not why they come. And they come because they want relationships. I've seen guys come to my campus ministry because there's a gorgeous girl in our campus ministry. And they're like, and then, you know, but 3 months down the road, their motive could be totally different. They can become some of the people in my campus ministry who have made the biggest difference. People come for all different kinds of reasons. And we can draw a crowd. When you start healing the wounds in people's lives, when you start doing that, you're going to draw a crowd because people begin to talk. And they say, man, my life was terrible. I had things going on in my life that I don't want anybody to know about. But man, I went to this campus ministry and I went to this thing called the Healing Path, which is a ministry we have at the Crossings. And man, we talked about my family life. And we talked about how, man, my dad abandoned me when I was young. And man, how that affected me, but man, now I've got an awesome group of people who love me. And that wound, yeah, it's, you know, sometimes I still look at that and I still hurt, but man, I've got a group of people around me who are helping me heal. And people hear that and they're like, man, I want that. And so it draws a crowd. And when our campus ministries learn to be a group of people who are there to help heal the wounds, to get people in contact with God who can take care of all the junk in their past, we'll start drawing a bigger crowd. You see, we've got to understand, we've got to go out and find people. We have to understand people. We have to see and meet their needs. And we have to nurse their wounds. If we want to draw a crowd, those are things that we have to do. Now, obviously, some of those people who were in that crowd were there for 100% the wrong reasons, and they never changed. And so that's where the funnel kind of begins. Because you start looking, you're like, well, what do we do if we have this huge group of people and all they do is want to take, 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 take? Well, you do what Jesus did, and how he started funneling people down was that he expected commitment out of them. He expected commitment. Luke 14:25 says, large crowds were walking along with Jesus when he turned and said, you cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and mother, your wife and children, and your brothers and sisters. You cannot come with me unless you love me more than your own life. You cannot be my disciple unless you carry your own cross and come with me. You look at Mark chapter 10 with the rich young man who walks away sad because Jesus called him to a commitment that he wasn't willing to make. You look at John chapter 6. Verses 60 and 66 and 67. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? He just told them about the Lord's Supper and people are freaking out. And they said, man, who can accept this teaching? And then in verse 66, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. You see, Jesus understood that he drew a large crowd, and then he started funneling them by saying, hey, here's what I expect out of you. If you want to follow me, if you want to be a part of what's going on here, if you want your life to be continuously blessed, then it's going to require a commitment out of you. Nobody, I am not the kind of guy at all. If you talk to anyone who knows me, I don't want to have some big, fat, lazy campus ministry with a bunch of people who are there who aren't committed and who don't want to grow and who don't want to help other people in their relationship with God. That's not what I want. That's why in our campus ministry, we call people to a very high commitment. We get them there in this huge crowd. And then we move them to something a little more serious, like our cross chats into church. And they start getting an idea of what a commitment to God needs to be about. And then we sit down with a one-on-one study with them. We go through some of the things about being a disciple and what God expects out of the people who follow him. And we say, this is what God wants out of you. This is what he expects. And you see that crowd start to filter out and funnel down. And then you watch those people become Christians, and then you watch them step up into leadership, and then you watch them start doing the same things again, and they start drawing a crowd, and they start bringing people down through that same funnel that you took them through. And it's amazing to see how that happens. And our campus ministries have got to be a place that we call people to a high commitment. The same kind of, we're so afraid to call people to a commitment. We're so afraid of the word disciple and discipling and all these things because of a bunch of junk in our past and groups that have broken off and all these. We're so afraid of those things. But Jesus called us to a much higher commitment than you ever hear preached out of a pulpit. Almost every time you hear it, it's like it's so watered down that you're like, is that what that said? Because that's not what I remember. But Jesus called people to an extreme commitment. And it funneled those people out who weren't serious. And it allowed the people who were serious to grow in their relationship with God enough that they could go and help more people be drawn to that crowd. The final thing that I believe that you have to do in that funnel is you have to love like crazy. You have to love people like crazy. You have to love being around them even when you don't want to be around them. I was telling one of our groups earlier, there are some people in my campus ministry who, you know, they might drive you crazy, but I love them. You look at passages like John 13, 34, and 35 that we talked about earlier. Jesus says, look, you're my disciples if you love each other. John 15, 13, no greater love has anyone but when they lay down their life for someone else. If you want to draw a crowd and you want to funnel people down through that crowd, then you've got to start laying your life down for the people around you and loving those people. We've got to be campus ministers who go out into our campus and realize it's my responsibility to find these people. It's my responsibility to look for them. It's my responsibility to draw a crowd. It's my responsibility to understand the kinds of things that draw a crowd. It's my responsibility to know these students well enough and to know the kind of lifestyle that they're living to plan events that draw a crowd. We're not going to do Napoleon Dynamite again this year because Napoleon Dynamite was last year. And we understand that college students constantly move through phases. And I realize that it's my responsibility to try to keep up with what's going on in their life, to be all things to those people on the college campus, and to understand them well enough to plan events that they will want to come to. The root beer kegger, I mean, college students, they love to drink. Keg, they're like, keg? Root beer in a keg? That's weird. I want to see root beer in a keg. And it doesn't, you know, that's one of those things that just doesn't change. Throwing mud at each other doesn't change. This year we rented, instead of doing the mud wrestling, we rented this huge boxing ring with the big boxing gloves, and people got in there, and college students will always love to beat the tar out of each other while drinking root beer from a keg. It doesn't make any sense, but they do. Those are things that they like. And it's the campus minister's responsibility to find those people, to understand them well enough to know what's going to draw them to a crowd. It's the campus minister's responsibility to say, man, you know, I see some needs on this campus. There's a lot of alcoholism on our campus. And I know not all these people who are partying. I know that they don't want to be like this. I know they don't want to live life like this. What kind of program can I offer them? We use a program called Celebrate Recovery that we've adapted for our own. And we use that to help people who have all kinds of different addictions. Any habit or hang up that you have, man, we say, hey, check out Celebrate Recovery. You know, sexual addiction. There are all kinds of things that you can look on the college campus and see needs. And it's your responsibility to know those college students well enough to meet their needs. Because when you start meeting their needs, you're going to draw big crowds. You're going to draw crowds of people who want a relationship with God because they see God can help them in their life. It's your responsibility to know the students well enough to know what kind of hurts they have so that you can plan ministries within your ministry that meet those hurts and heal those wounds of those people. It falls on our shoulders to be able to do that. And to draw that crowd. And I can tell you, you know, I look at all the work that goes into something like our root beer kegger. And, you know, we have 400 some people show up. How many of those people by the end of year are still around? Maybe one or two sometimes. And you look at that and you're like, man, I don't know if it's worth all that work and all that money and all that energy and all that effort. But I can tell you right now that it's definitely worth it because some of the greatest men and women on my campus ministry, their first event that they ever came to was the Root Beer Kegger. TC's fiance, the first event she ever attended was the Root Beer Kegger. Didn't come to anything else the rest of the year. Came again the next year to the Root Beer Kegger, and boom, we got her. She was hooked, and she started coming around. And now she's one of the leaders in our campus ministry. She leads a small group. She's an incredible woman. And I can tell you tons of stories of how we've had hundreds of people come to these events. And yeah, it's great to have those 100, but really the goal of that is to funnel down and find the ones who are going to make a difference in the world for God. And then they come, and the next year, they're there helping us draw a new crowd. And we funnel those people down into those leadership roles. But the bigger crowd you can attract, the better turnout you're going to have. The better return that you're going to have. And so we have to realize, man, Jesus' ministry was constantly drawing a crowd. What can I do to draw a crowd? What can I do to pull those people in a little bit closer and a little bit closer and to funnel them in into a right relationship with God, into a saved relationship with God, into a relationship that allows them to bless other people's lives? You see, it's our responsibility to draw a crowd and to funnel them into a right relationship with God. As a campus minister, that's what God has called you to do. And like I said, if you have great events that are drawing a crowd, please tell me about them so I can use them. And I'll be more than willing to sit down and talk with you about some of the ideas that we have for things that we're going to do to draw a crowd this next year. And talk about the reasoning and the thought behind those things of why we do them and why we do them the way that we do. But I really hope and I dream that, you know, this next year you go out on your campus and you start thinking about these things and that you put on this huge event in August when school kicks off. And I hope to get tons of phone calls of people saying, man, we did this crazy event. And man, we had a ton of people there. I don't know how many are going to stay, but man, it was an awesome event. And then a year from now, when you come back and you say, man, yeah, this one person stuck around from that event, but man, it was so worth it for that person that did stick around. They funneled down through, and man, they're awesome. And they're making a difference in the lives of the college people around them. That's what I hope happens in your ministry, and I hope that's what continues to happen in our ministry. We're going to pray, and then where's Wes at? We didn't break out? The breakout? We're going to do a breakout session. There's some questions in there designed just for you to look at your ministry and ask you some questions about whether or not you draw a crowd and what you do to funnel those people down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for today, God, for letting us come here with a group of people, God, a group of campus ministers and elders, and God, people who are just interested in campus ministry, students. God, I pray that you'll help us to be campus ministries that do draw a crowd for you, God, that it'll pull people in and that they'll see that having a relationship with you is the only way to live life, God, and that there's something so much better out there than what they have. And God, that you want awesome things for them and you want them to do awesome things in the lives of others. And I pray that you'll help us to take on our responsibility, God, and to put the weight on our shoulders to draw that crowd and to reach people for you and to make an impact on our campuses, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie.